Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
When the enemy shoots his darts of condemnation, if you've ever been laying in bed, thinking about the things that you've done, wondering why God would ever even love you because of what you've done, you are now seeing the fiery darts come in, and you need to remember Romans 8:1. There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
The enemy attacks us when we're weak, when we're at our lowest. It's during those times, especially, that we need to make sure we're wearing our armor and walking in the truth of God's word that quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. With part two of our study on the shield of faith out of Ephesians 6:16, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
In 1 John 5:4, Jesus said, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." So the disciples are in the boat with Jesus one day, and Jesus is talking to them about faith, and they say to him, "Lord, increase our faith." That's actually what a lot of teachers teach, that we have a faith container inside of us. And if you get enough faith in there, you're going to be able to do incredible things. But Jesus said to the disciples, "How long have I been with you and you still don't understand me?" Which was not the only time he expressed frustration with them. I wonder how much frustration the Lord would express with us when we're not grasping spiritual things. And he says, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, then you can say to this mountain, be removed." It's not getting more faith. It's using the faith you have. That's why faith the size of a mustard seed is powerful. When you are trusting in God, let me give you my definition for faith. Faith is believing God enough to do what he says. When God says to do it, faith says, "I'm going to do that." And when you do that, you find the power of God's word behind you. The power isn't in your faith. One guy wrote a little book called "Have Faith in Your Faith," which is like having nothing and nothing. My faith is what I put my faith into. I put my faith on this stage right now. I know it's going to hold me up. We built the stage. I was here when they did it. I saw it happen. I know it's going to hold me up. But when I climb up on a chair in my house to change a light bulb because I'm too lazy to get the ladder, I'm not quite sure I'm going to stay stable on that chair while I'm reaching up to get the light bulb. I could put my faith in the wrong thing. That's the point. Corey Ten Boom said, "Faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible." Faith is the means by which we say, "God, it doesn't look like things are going the right way now, but I trust in you." Job is the great example of that. Job went through the awful things that Job went through. His wife said to him, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" I heard someone say here recently that was a positive thing. She was being positive to him. Look, when your wife tells you curse God and die, there's nothing that you can find positive with that. I can understand her saying, "Why don't you just die? It might be better off for you." But curse God and die? Curse God and go meet him face to face. That's not a good thing. Now, the second thing that we see is the protection of faith. Faith is the means by which we're saved. Faith is the means by which we see the things of God and the way that he works in our lives. Faith serves as a spiritual shield, absorbing and extinguishing the fiery darts of the enemy. That's what the passage said. Above all, use your shield of faith to extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. He shoots his darts of condemnation. He wants you condemned. This is the real spiritual battle. I did a Q&A yesterday at 3:30 in the afternoon on YouTube and Facebook. And we had two questions where people said, "I'm highly discouraged. I just find myself wondering what God's doing and what it's all about." And I said, this is a perfect example of spiritual warfare. That's what he does. He's hoping to discourage you. He's hoping to condemn you. That you lay there thinking, "I've done these horrible things. How is God ever going to love me? I wish I would have never have done them." John Newton worked on a slave ship. Then he became a Christian, strong Christian, pastor, and an evangelist. But like Paul persecuting the church, John Newton never really forgave himself for working on the slave ship. He remembered the things that he saw, the things that were done while he was on it. And so he wrote a song called Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. When the enemy shoots his darts of condemnation, if you've ever been laying in bed thinking about the things that you've done, wondering why God would ever even love you because of what you've done, you are now seeing the fiery darts come in, and you need to remember Romans 8:1. There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That God has separated your sins as far as the east is from the west. That God is not going to let you end up being condemned. Paul had the same thing. Paul said, the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. The things I want to do, I don't do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Praise be to God, it is Jesus Christ. For there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. Not only does faith protect us against condemnation, but faith declares that we are not condemned in Romans 8:1. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin, you ought to have this one memorized by now as well, for he made him who knew no sin, sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. He experienced something he never knew, sin. So you could experience something you never knew, righteousness. In Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. The east and the west will never meet. The Bible says he has put them behind his back. He remembers them no more. And laid in bed at night when I've let a fiery dart bounce around for a while, I bring up my sin. And God says, well, now I remember it. I didn't remember it before. Theologians argue whether or not God really forgets our sin or whether he's just saying he doesn't apply it to us, but we continually bring it back up with God as if we're really not forgiven. Maybe we understand that we really and truly are. Faith protects us against fear. The Bible says that God has given us a sound mind, but we live in a time when after COVID, there's just been great fear. Many panic attacks. My son works in an emergency room and he talks about the panic attacks that come in almost constantly, almost every shift. There's just fear. It says in Psalms 56:3, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Fear can paralyze us, keeping us from stepping forward into the obedience of faith, reminding us that God is with us. And faith protects us against discouragement. It's not just the mind the enemy attacks. We think about Satan approaching Eve. I started to talk about this a little bit earlier. He didn't do the spooky ooky stuff. Instead, he said, has God said you can't eat of any of the trees of the garden? He questions God's goodness. And she said, well, God said we could eat of all the trees of the garden, but of the tree in the middle of the garden, we can't eat. So she responded with what God said, only she changed it. She left something out because God said, you can freely eat of all of the trees in the garden. So in Satan's question that the arrow he shot at her, it was an accusation. Did God say you can't eat from any of these trees? Well, no, we can eat of them. God had said freely, so in her response, she makes God's word less gracious. And then she says, but of the fruit of the tree, we can't eat it or touch it. Well, God had never said she couldn't touch it. He said you couldn't eat it. So she made God's word more grievous. And so this is the way we handle God's word. We leave things out. We make it less gracious. We make it harder to keep. Because she could have touched it all she wanted to. And this allowed Satan to say, you will not surely die. Satan changed God's word. It's all the battle over the word of God when Eve is interacting with him. And so when Satan's shooting his fiery darts at you, he's shooting lies because he's the father of lies and whatever he says, and God's truths will cause you to stand right with him. Now think of Jesus. He's being tempted by the enemy. He shows up in the same way. If you are the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread. Now he's saying that to someone who has fasted for 40 days and became hungry again. That's got to be a pretty strong hunger. Sometimes I'll fast all day until dinner. I think in that way I'm not going to eat as many calories, but then I eat 3,000 calories for dinner. I just don't stop eating. I make up for it by eating more food. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He gives us in his answer the word to fighting against the enemy. Three times the enemy brought up and questioned God, and three times he responded with, it is written. So this is our shield of faith. Now, I had said last week that our feet prepared with the readiness of the gospel is an overlap with the helmet of salvation. Well, the shield of faith is an overlap with the sword of the Spirit. Because in the shield of faith, we use the truth of the word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You don't receive faith, it doesn't just supernaturally sink into your brain. You read God's word, you believe it, you do it, and that is faith. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So faith protects us from discouragement. It says in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because you trust him. When we put our mind on God, let's consider for a moment the things we think. What kind of things do you think about? You got a battle going on in the things you do? You say, well, I kind of got a handle on those strongholds. I'm doing pretty good. But is your mind going other places? Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust after her, then you've committed adultery in your heart. Jesus said, if you're angry with your brother, you've murdered him in your heart. And so the Bible tells us in Philippians, whatever's true, whatever's good, whatever's honorable, whatever's right, whatever's lovely, whatever's noble, think on these things. So there's a discipline. Tells us in Corinthians that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds and those things which argue against God. So the enemy puts those thoughts in our mind, we begin to entertain them. So the battle is taking place inside of your mind and inside of your heart, your feelings, and your thinking that the enemy is trying to get a hold of. I hope you're doing well physically with your walk, but I hope you're doing well with your mind and your emotions, because that's going to keep you from doing things. That's where the real battle is. Sometimes Christians are like, yeah, no, I'm doing pretty good. I got rid of things in my life and I've got the victory. Amen. And if you say to them, well, how's your thought life? What kind of things are you thinking about? Ooh. Why are you asking that question? Because that's where the enemy's attacking. Oswald Chambers said, faith is a deliberate confidence in the character of God whose ways we may not understand at the time. All of us think we know what God would do, but God's ways are as high above our ways as the heavens are above the earth. And so when we're going through something, we think, why are you doing this, God? Job did. Job went through this horrible time. Job said, if God were a man, I'd set him down and talk to him. I'd have a conversation. So near the end of the book, God says, you sit down, Job, and I'll talk to you. I got some questions for you. Were you there when I created the heavens and the earth? Job's like, no. Were you there when he starts talking to all of them? Job says, no, no, no. He's showing Job what he doesn't know, that Job doesn't know these things. And we don't know either. And so a fire extinguisher does not stop fires from happening. It's when we see a fire that we bring out the fire extinguisher. The same thing is true. The shield of faith does not stop the enemy from attacking. We may get intrusive thoughts, but it's saying that's not true. This is what the word says, and believing it, that you fight against these things. Let me just run these down through you because my sermon's too long, shocking. He has darts of deception. He has darts of doubt. He has darts of temptation. And he shoots these things into you. Martin Luther said, we are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. In other words, when we have faith, then God is with us and we are able to overcome anything. I want to close by reading you this. Horatio Spafford wrote a hymn. The hymn was inspired when he had his wife and children, four daughters, leave New York. And the ship sunk, hit another ship and sunk. His wife was saved, but his four daughters perished. Later on, when him and his wife were going from New York to England, he asked the captain if he would basically show them the area where his daughters had perished. He walked outside and he stood on that boat looking out at the waters where his daughters had drowned. And he said to God, it is well with my soul. This great sorrow of losing his four daughters. So let me read you this. One of the most powerful examples of faith is found in the life of Horatio Spafford. He penned the words to the hymn, it is well with my soul, in the midst of unimaginable grief. He wrote, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. That's how we trust God, even in the midst of what we don't understand what's happening. Take that shield of faith up and fight off the thoughts that he's shooting in your mind. I've seen people so overwhelmed that they end up turning their back on God because the enemy's shooting those darts in and they're just taking them and letting them catch fire. Basically, they're running out of the church with their mind on fire, which is what Satan wanted. May that never be you. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for encouraging us with this shield of faith. We don't always understand what you're doing. We think we know what you're doing, but we don't always understand it. And so we have to trust you. And the enemy is so good at shooting his fiery darts at the evil day, at the appropriate time. And so, Lord, I pray you would help us to be men and women who would walk in faith and trust you, that we would use that shield of faith, have the entire armor on, that the enemy would not be effective in taking us out. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, your eyes closed for just a few moments. If you've never given your life to Christ, if you say, well, I go to church, therefore I'm a Christian. There are a lot of Christians who do that, but they're not genuine Christians because going to church can't save you. You have to be born again. Flesh and blood, the Bible says, can't enter into heaven. So you have to have a spirit, and your spirit is brought to life when you are born again, when you receive Jesus. Paul spoke of it this way. He said that there's an awakening in our spirit, the King James Version. The New King James says we are brought to life. God brings your spirit to life. And now, because God is spirit, you have a spirit that you can interact with him. You can grow and you can mature. You can become the man, the woman that God wants you to be. If you're ready to be adopted into the family of God, there certainly is a way that everybody in the world is a child of God, or God's offspring. But when we get saved, we are adopted into the family of God and we are co-inheritors with Jesus. Want to give your life to Christ? Done living for yourself? Then raise your hand. Just right now, you're saying, Lord, I want to invite you in. I'm done living for myself and I'm ready to live for you. Be bold. Jesus was bold and died on the cross for you. Just be bold. I'm done. I'm ready. I'm living for Jesus from here on out. Just raise your hand now. God bless you, ma'am. Off to the left. That's great. Anyone else? God bless you, ma'am, right here in the front. God bless you, ma'am, on the aisle. That's great. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. God bless you, ma'am, on the aisle to my right. That's wonderful. Anyone else? God bless you up in the balcony. That's great. Makes me want to look one more time. If I missed your hand, then know that God saw it. I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin separates me from you. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you as a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Listen, I was 14 years old when I prayed that prayer, and I can tell you that God changed me. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, everything becomes new. And God is going to do a work in your life. There's a new believers table along the wall. There's a new believers team. We want to give you a Bible so you can go home today and begin to read it. We want to show you where you start reading your Bible from. And then we've got a little booklet. The booklet is basically this. I raise my hand, what do I do next? That's what the booklet is. It's just giving you some basic things you can do so you can grow as a Christian. Maybe you say, well, I don't need to stop by and get the book, and you might not need to, but why reinvent the wheel? We've got it for you. We won't keep you a long time, but just stop by there, pick those few things up. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. In a New Testament verse, and now unto him, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. I bless you in his name. I put you in his hands. May he fill you with the Spirit. For you believers that are here, may he convict you when you're doing things that are wrong. That's the love of God that is convicting us. And may he even discipline us when we are, to bring that correction in. And if you just have never learned to control your mind, oh, it's a new road for you. To control where your mind's going and to know that it doesn't have to go wherever your mind wants to go. May God, by the power of the Spirit, allow you to live by faith, even in the things that you think.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, We'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.